now recording.
All right, yep. What's up, everybody? And welcome to another episode of the Broken Clock Podcast main event. This is Extreme Rules 2017, where WWE takes every match, except not this time,
half of them.
The extreme. We'll go around the room and introduce ourselves. As always, my name is Adam.
I am Joe.
Today I am Extreme Tyler.
Damn it, I'm Extremely Carrie.
And we together are guaranteed to be right at least twice a day, because that is the motto of the Broken Clock Podcast. So we have a Raw exclusive pay-per-view for Extreme Rules, which, you know, is kind of short, and we'll see how it goes, but it should be violent and maybe bloody. And
extreme!
So extreme.
I don't think it's going to be that extreme. This pay-per-view looks like shit.
It does. All of the pay-per-views that we've watched since WrestleMania on these pre-shows were like, man, this looks awful.
Yep.
And they've been okay.
Like, I specifically said last pay-per-view was going to be great, and it was. So I don't know what you're talking about.
It was pretty great because I won.
Yeah, the belt no one cared about that time.
Any pay-per-view when Joe gets to walk away as a champ is a great pay-per-view.
So we have to give credit where credit is due, and Tyler did predict two pay-per-views ago that Backlash is Joe's pay-per-view, and it turned out to be true. So good job, Tyler. So
I'm not happy about it. I'm not proud of it.
This is the Backlash that you all get.
So yeah, on that same line, Joe is the world champion, Tyler is the intercontinental champion, Skip is the hardcore champion, and Miz NXT Participation
well.
Award winner and NXT champion.
That doesn't matter.
Which isn't important this particular time, because we didn't have an NXT takeover yesterday.
Adam and I are just extreme.
We're so extreme. I'm going to take things to the extreme. I'm going to do the Hardy Boys, like, extreme dance
You guys
whole
are
time.
Extremely beltless.
That's true.
There's going to be a lot of those.
But I have a real belt on my, like, yes. To hold up my pants, so I at least have some kind of belt.
There you go.
Yeah. You're extremely beltless.
That is true.
all right, so shall we dive into this star-studded
festival of meh.
All right,
yeah,
so
let's do it.
We're going to start off with what is obviously the real main event.
Well, actually, we should go with the last one, right? Is the...
The what? What are you talking about?
The pre-show?
Kalisto versus...
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's true. I forgot that is the official pre-show match.
We just wrote it last because we found out about it last. Because it just
got
added.
Not even listed on any of the websites.
Well, it just got added today.
Oh, okay.
Because I don't think there's build-up or fanfare for it, which is why it's a six-point match.
Yeah, it's
Kalisto. Our points are extreme today.
Kalisto
we should have done extreme points. We're going to do extreme points.
All right, we
just doubled the points of everything.
No, like quintuple.
Yeah, that's not doubling isn't extreme.
Yeah, doubling, that's like your mom's extreme.
Oh, I'm sorry.
apology not accepted. No.
It was an extreme apology.
Yeah.
Sorry! There you go.
Nailed it.
You didn't see me also throw up the
they
go
felt
horns.
It. Yeah, they felt it.
Yeah, they knew.
All right, so it's Kalisto versus Apollo Crews, a match that wasn't as exciting as Joe's apology. I hate this whole Apollo Crews tied to
Titus Brand
thing.
It's just awkward.
It's so awkward.
Well, and we know where it's going, because they're going to break up and then they're going to fight each other, and nobody cares about that either.
Well, I feel like, obviously, and we've said it a lot of times on the podcast, I feel like what holds Apollo Crews back a lot is just that he can't stop smiling. You know,
he's smiling happy guy.
He's just, you know, always smiling. And I feel like instead of trying to work that out of him, they've given up on it and have made it his gimmick now.
Yeah.
And that's the final nail in the coffin. So.
No one wants happy guy in wrestling.
No, they really don't.
I like happy guy in wrestling.
Well, unless he's quirky and goofy, and then happy guy can exist. But if this guy's just like, yep, really happy to be here, Charlie. Uh-huh.
You know what? We're both wrong. It's not that no one wants it, but it's that happy guy doesn't go anywhere.
No.
Happy guy stays at the bottom of the mid-card and does his dance. And I believe Apollo Crews deserves more than that, but I don't think we're ever going to see that.
Can you think of any who was the last successful happy guy?
I can't.
Mankind.
Yeah.
But he was quirky. He was he was constantly happy and smiling, but it's because he's deranged. And frankly, but I mean, that's not.
But he
at least got an intercontinental title run.
I'm not going to take that from him. I would, if I could have had his career, I don't.
He was a heel though. So that works for a heel, because you can be super smiley, but condescending through the smile.
True.
And that works a lot. Oh, hi kitty.
That is true. So what do you got for this match?
Oh.
Dice roll, fucking coin flip,
Okay, you got to see that the Titus Brand has to explode at some point.
Correct.
That the whole thing is that it exists to explode.
I would kind of
so
like it.
So I could picture it being, it's going to be Kalisto wins, and then this is where Titus, finally pisses off Apollo.
I would mock you for your theory of everybody has to lose to flip out, but that did get you a championship last time. So
it works.
I don't know that I can do it. I'm going to go Apollo Crews because I kind of want the Titus brand to blow up in the way where it succeeds, because I think it'd be really funny to like watch the Titus brand like take off, but Apollo Crews is still reluctant to do all the things that Titus wants it to do, but like somehow he still keeps winning. I think that would be more interesting than he loses and they feud immediately. Like, he should be reluctant and Titus is like, we're winning, and he's like, but you're kind of a dick. So
I feel like we've already kind of done that, especially with the whole hold the tights thing on Monday. So I'm actually with Joe. I think Kalisto wins because like Apollo's clearly about to win, and then Titus like gets up to give him some advice, and it costs him the match. And this, even if this isn't the end of it, this is like
the road.
The first time where they, you know, butt heads, and maybe we build to the next pay per view is what it gets us to that match.
The only thing I would think would be the only reason that wouldn't work is just because it's a pre-show match. And would they actually try and advance the plot in a pre-show match?
Yeah, they've told stories. They're free, right? That's what's on YouTube, right? So,
and they've told stories on the pre-show before, especially with Kalisto.
And actually, he's kind of the king of that.
And the blow-up could happen on Raw tomorrow.
Yeah, exactly. This could just be the setup.
Yeah.
This is just the first pin getting knocked over or whatever, the first domino. What are you thinking?
I love Apollo Crews.
Yeah, I figured as much.
So
I also love Paul Cruz.
I don't like Flappy Dragon Hat Man.
In the biz. In Tebiz.
And that was a 1-point match, right? We said that.
Oh, yeah.
But this is extreme.
It's extreme. It's a 5,000
point match.
All right, 5-point match.
5-point match.
5-point match.
Everything's multiplied
this,
by 5.
I love everything about this. I have to be honest with you. Okay.
Good idea, Carrie.
Yeah, excellent idea. Really bringing something to the table.
Finally.
all right, so in what is actually less interesting than the previous match, we have Noam Dar and Alicia Fox versus
Sasha Banks
and
Rich Swann.
I always want to say Rick Swann, but I know it's wrong, so I don't even want to say it.
This?
Can you handle this? Can you handle this? Carrie is really mad when we sing the song, so we keep doing it.
You've just been doing it for the last hour.
Sure, the best hour ever. It's really been a great hour.
There's no way to avoid that song.
It's part of our brand. So I actually have to go faces on this because there are a lot of indie wrestlers that I see people tout and I don't get it, but like I get it, you know, like I'm like that guy, it doesn't do it for me, but like I see what you're talking about.
Yeah.
I see people talk about Noam Dar the way that people talk about Finn Balor.
Yeah.
And this guy is a joke to me. Like, he can go in the ring. And I don't want to fucking compete with this guy at the gym either.
No.
But like, as far as talking, and it's not because of the accent, which Shinsuke Nakamura proves every week.
He's shit on the mic.
Well, I think because they don't let him go. I think it's all scripted. And so they're like, oh, you have an accent? Look, you can say things funny. The whole reason he's paired up with Alicia Fox is because when he says Fox, it sounds like fucks. Like, that's the whole reason they're paired together. Because Vince must find it hilarious.
I do, too.
It's pretty funny.
All right,
I giggle every time.
Yeah, fine. So that's why I think he's more shit. I don't know him from the indie scene or anything like that. But yeah, no, he sucks on the mic because they're just like, go say words funny.
Also, I don't watch 205 Live, so yeah, I don't exactly know how in-depth this feud is.
That's why Sasha's here, to get you to try to watch 205 Live.
Yeah.
It didn't work.
No, it didn't work. Sorry, guys. It just made me feel bad for Sasha.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I've got faces on this. What do you guys got?
I mean, I just can't picture Sasha. Like, to me, this is basically just Sasha versus Alicia Fox. That's the way I see this match, because I don't care about the other two guys. So I can't picture Sasha losing to Alicia Fox.
That's fair.
Yeah, I've got faces here, too.
Okay.
Yup.
Shit, there's six or seven match pay-per-view, and we already got a...
So extreme.
Yeah, so that's 5 points. Wash,
but, I mean, it is what it is. Yeah, this one's 5 points. Although it may not matter. It depends on what... Is Skip sending in picks?
Yes.
Yeah.
Our compatriot who does not podcast but joins us will not be with us tonight, unfortunately, so...
So we'll get his picks beforehand so he can still walk out a champ.
But it'll all be the same to you.
But it does mean one less person bidding for the hardcore belt.
True, because I won't be here for the actual pay-per-view.
Either.
Sweet.
I will be
moving around a lot.
Vicious fight between the three of us.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to lay across the whole fucking couch. even though Adam's sitting on it. What?
Yes.
you guys can edit that part out, right?
No, yeah, can't, sure, totally.
This isn't live, is it?
Can you handle this? Can you handle this?
Oh, no. So awkward for me.
Yes. Well, why? You'll be holding the camera. You got that GoPro, right?
That's not why I'm buying the GoPro.
So, all right, next up we have a match that I actually am legitimately excited for, even though it...
I don't watch Show 5 Live, but this match I care about.
We are reaching Kevin Owens versus Sami Zayn levels on this feud, but we have Neville versus Austin Aries for the third time. It's the other trilogy.
Yeah.
And this one is a submission match.
Which yes, it is.
Obviously is a cool stipulation to have, and... You'll note the first stipulation we've mentioned, despite the fact that we're three matches into this fucking card at Extreme Rules.
Yep. Cooldown matches don't get stipulations.
I'm really torn here because if this wasn't a submission match, I would think for sure no fucking way is Austin Aries not going to win this belt again. But the fact that it's a match that favors him and that he made Neville tap for the first time on Monday... It stinks like Austin Aries is losing this match. So I'm...
Does Neville even have any submission moves, though?
Yeah, he has one.
Yeah, he has. It's very much not his
thing. Because I only think of him as, you know, flips in air.
And I'm happy that we've moved. Like, Austin Aries is one of those guys who, and he's done it for his whole career, if I recall correctly. There are some wrestlers who move in and out of, you know, I have an RKO style finisher. Now I have a submission finisher.
Yeah.
You know, like Cena did it for a while and Jericho did it and so on and so forth. I hate Austin. I love Austin Aries, but I hate his finisher. I hate that stupid elbow thing.
Oh,
I hate
it.
So I'm cool that this moved him. I'd rather a submission friendly Austin Aries.
For sure.
I have to go Austin Aries on this because I want it and I feel like third time's a charm, but it's not as much of a no brainer as I expected this match to be.
Yeah, that stipulation really changes things up a bit. I'm not sure yet. Somebody else go.
Someone.
Choose for me.
The stipulation actually changes nothing for me because Neville has a monkey face and I don't like him.
Fair enough.
Someday
Neville will listen
to this podcast and he'll cry.
Your ears are too large.
Oh.
He probably knows.
Yeah, probably heard that.
I'm sorry. You're right.
Where's the pay-per-view?
I'm close.
To the bedroom. It's weird.
You're doing your thing. I'm happy for you. I just don't want you to win.
I'm sure that makes a lot to him. Joe?
Oh, shit. This one really does go anyway. You know what? Just for the sake of mixing it up, I'm just going to go with Neville.
Right, monkey face.
It does seem that Austin not is right, like monkey destined face. To win this.
Yeah.
So I'll just go with the swerve pick and say Neville.
Say, sometimes those pay off. Yeah.
It's my turn again.
Didn't get enough time to think, huh?
Yeah, no. You know what? I've gone Austin Aries every single time. I'm not switching now. I think, like, you have to move the belt around a little bit. I don't think, because I don't know where Neville goes after that. If he just fights with TJP or somebody else, like, at least if Austin Aries gets it, you can freshen up some different feuds a little bit. So, yeah, I'm going Austin Aries.
Yeah, Bull's got a monkey face, got a monkey face, got a monkey face.
It's infectious.
Yeah.
It's a good tune.
Yeah, it's a good tune.
Yeah.
All right, so.
Point?
Oh,
12.
12 10? Points? 50, 75 no, points, guys?
It's
really?
Extreme!
Wait, you went 12, like 10 points?
10 points, right?
What? 12.
Why would it go 12?
Why not?
She makes a good point. 12.
All right, 12 it is.
That's how extreme this is. We're being more extreme than they are.
We'll put in the caveat that if for some reason, somehow, this utterly ruins everything, we'll fix it.
But we'll go back to one, the two, regular threes, yeah. Point values.
I kind of like it.
What, you know what? I'm thinking about this now. The only way that it really works is if we just make the lowest point value matches a larger point, but then we exponentially increase all the other ones, it's the same fucking concept, just with bigger numbers. So we have to really... make it weird.
Yeah.
Like, we need to give Kalisto versus Apollo Crews like 45 points. like one of the shit matches needs to be, actually, I guess not. We'll think about it. This, folks, when we come back for the second half of this podcast, we'll let you know what we decided.
That's an extremely bad idea.
Then it's working.
Sweet.
All right. So let's go to the fringe for a bit, the lunatic fringe, if you will, and talk about Dean Ambrose versus Miz for the Intercontinental title.
Boom. This is the
18th time they faced each other in the last 6 months.
Speaking of
Sami
Zayn,
there's
versus...
no championship advantage.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. The stipulation here, not just for the IC belt, but if Dean Ambrose gets DQ'd, he still loses his belt.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah. I mean, it's just so silly to have a stipulation that discourages extreme rules being or extreme you know, methods being used.
Yeah. It was introduced by Miz, though, so it's him being a dickish heel to be like, all right, fine, no extreme advantage. How's that for you?
It works. It is. It does work. And I'm sure that they'll have their opportunities.
I'm going Miz because I think it's time to give him back the belt and let the greatest Intercontinental Champion of all time begin the reign again. So that's what I'm doing.
So that's what I'm doing. Hey, I'm also going Miz on this. I feel like you can only leave a belt off of Miz for so long before his shtick starts to lose weight.
He just starts to fade out of existence.
Yeah, exactly. It's like Back to the Future style. Like the Polaroid is starting to fade.
Plus, I'm done with Dean Ambrose.
Yeah, and I also feel like they need Dean Ambrose to be, I mean, like, whatever their main event is, like, and I know it's got the five bros we're going to talk about later on, but, like, I feel like Dean Ambrose needs to be
with one of those guys paired.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. All five of these dudes can't keep feuding. Some of these people are going to need something to do. Yep. So let's free up Dean Ambrose. We'll give Miz a mid-carder to bring up a bit, and we'll, you know, go from there. Yeah. So it's, for me, I'm feeling Miz.
Yeah, I'm also going to have to go Miz on this one.
Shit.
Yeah, I know.
Short cards are awful.
I didn't really care about the Neville versus Austin Aries match, but this one, it seems way too obvious that it's going to go to Miz.
I feel like this is where your bias might help you.
Yeah, I'm going to Dark Horse, and I'm going to go Dean Ambrose because there's nothing more extreme than the Lunatic Fringe.
It's true.
But if he gets extreme, it might cost him the belt.
That's true. He can't go too extreme.
He's been neutered.
Yep. He's been pulled back.
I could have gone with nerfed there, but I wanted to make it weird. All right, next
success.
Up. Alexa Bliss versus Bayley for the women's match, or for the women's title, rather, in a kendo stick on a pole match. I would like to take a moment to mention, to give a shout out to Bayley, This Is Your Life. That segment was fucking hilarious. I thought that was.
No.
You didn't like it?
I hated it with every fiber of my being.
I thought I was going to cringe all the way through it, but Alexa Bliss is just so good that she made it funny, even though it should have been awful. That's how I felt. See, I feel like she's one of the best things in wrestling.
Oh, right, absolutely. Now. I love Alexa Bliss more than anything right now. And she's great at talking. And then they stuck this script in front of her and said, okay, now talk to the teacher. All right, now awkwardly make them make out with each other or date or whatever, like the other two kids. And I was just like, I don't care about any of this.
I don't know. It worked for me. And I usually hate that kind of shit.
It was cringy for me.
Was it?
I didn't hate it. I didn't walk away going, that was terrible, but I was going like...
I tuned out of it. I like immediately was like, all right, what's going on my phone? Because I can't with this.
It's like when you get into a really wincy part of a Seinfeld episode and you like need to distract yourself because all you want to do is jump out the fucking window. I get you. Well, sorry. I guess I like you more than anyone, Alexa.
All right, so I
not
haven't
true.
Really...
Wait a minute, no.
Oh, you blew it. What's your chance if you blew it?
So... the stipulation of this match, kendo stick on a pole.
Kendo stick on a pole.
Is it just like you get the kendo stick down and if you hit the opponent...
Here, hold on. I'm going to put Vince Russo on speakerphone and he'll be able to explain it to you because this is his baby.
What I think the rule is that if you get the kendo stick down from the pole, you and you alone are allowed to use it legally.
That is it. He is correct.
That is what it is.
That's the rule.
So if you get it down,
it allows
you can beat
you
the crap out of the
other
person.
And the other person cannot.
And they can't pick it up.
They would get disqualified if they used it.
Ooh. That is interesting.
It's like imagine playing Streets of Rage, but the bad guys can't pick up the stuff laying on the ground. Yeah, what's up? Exactly.
Otherwise, they get disqualified.
Yeah, it was. yeah. you got to go sit over there.
Yeah. I got my girl Alexa. She's retaining.
Okay. So the way I see this playing out is that Alexa Bliss will get the kendo stick. And she will beat the crap out of Bayley. But Bayley will win. She'll have the advantage of having the kendo stick, but Bayley will still pull it out and win in the end after like after getting thoroughly trounced with the stick. It's gonna be the thing where she's gonna have like huge welts on her come Monday tomorrow, but she's still gonna be able to pull it out in the end. Then she gets to pull the like even you had a kendo stick and you still couldn't beat me kind of thing.
Because I do think Austin Aries will pull off winning the kind of match that favors him, is the same reason why I'm going Bayley in this and thinking that she's going to be the offset on the booking is to have her win a match where she couldn't possibly win.
Yeah.
I don't think Alexa Bliss. Well, I'm sad about it. But I mean, Alexa Bliss chasing
Alexa
a belt. Bliss. is just as fun chasing a belt as she is having a belt
because she's great.
Yeah, there aren't many people who can actually do both well. I find, like Randy Orton hunting a title was always more fun than Randy Orton as champion. Even though I fucking love Randy Orton as champion, don't get me wrong. But there's just some wrestlers who are more hunters than prey, you know, and
well, faces are chasers. Like, yeah. That's what they do. And then once they get it, they're just like, the thing that you wanted, you've got it. Now what do you do?
Now we just got to count the days until the bad guy comes and takes it from me, you know, like, so
heels can do that better anyway. Cause they, you don't want, you
they're
want,
good at, they're good at gloating.
Yeah.
Yep. Carrie, your pick for the ladies.
I'm gonna go Alexa Bliss.
She is delightful.
What is it, 17 points? 18?
18 points, yeah.
Okay. Because, I mean...
Oh, wait, this was a three-point match we had on this card.
Yeah.
So, like, 27 points?
10,000.
30 points.
30 points? Oh, it's got to be a weird
30
number.
32. 30, no. Well, 30... 12.
I feel like that's really high, though. Like, that's exponentially higher than...
All right, 27.
27. All right.
27 works.
That's so fucking extreme.
So
extreme. Oh, my God. Guys, the paper's catching on fire.
Wait, that's not a stipulation. Put it out.
Oh, sorry. Okay, now next... we have the fucking Hardys.
Yay!
I still like the Hardys.
Yay!
We have the Hardys versus Cesaro and Sheamus. Cesaro.
I'm so tired of watching them win.
Shazamus. Shabernigdo.
ShamWow.
You're going to love my nuts.
That's their name.
Wait, that's a different thing.
Oh, yeah, it is.
So they're in a steel cage match?
In a steel cage.
Hardy Boys versus Cesaro and Sheamus in a steel cage match. God damn it, for the tag team championship belt.
God bless you. Yeah, that sucks, huh?
I'm so tired of seeing the Hardy Boys win.
Yeah.
That's all they do.
Yeah.
It's not interesting.
Get ready to be disappointed because the Hardys are winning tonight.
Yeah. I'm assuming that's your
pick.
The
reason they're all winning is because you got to hype them returning.
Yeah.
And
they're treading water until they can use the broken gimmick. That's what it is. They're not going to lose until that's ready. And I don't think it's ready yet. So.
I hate it.
They're winning.
They're great. They're not great, though. Yeah. They're not great to me.
They're great to me.
They're flying off of their own coattails from whenever the fuck else they were on wrestling, and I don't know who they are. I don't care who they are, and I don't like them.
If I could tell you, if you did know who they were, you would like them even less.
True. guys.
So you're picking the Hardys, is what you're saying, Kay?
You can't handle this. You can't handle this.
So you're picking the Hardys?
No.
You can't Hardy this?
I can't Hardy this.
Joe, what do you got for this?
Oh, fuck.
Also, Sheamus is my boy.
It's true.
I mean, not Sheamus, Cesaro.
No, I was like, when did Sheamus become your boy?
Oh,
when
no, it's Cesaro.
Boy? That's right.
But actually, they don't do the tear-off suit anymore. They don't do the tear-off suit anymore.
No, because he's a villain now. He wears the kilt and the military jacket.
Yeah.
They do the thing where they stand back to back.
Yeah.
I'm honestly hiring for a new favorite now.
Oh. Well, maybe this will be the day that the Hardy Boys win your heart.
It will not be likely.
Do we know?
can go into the hall.
Do we know? Is this the type of cage that you can escape from, or is this a no escape?
I don't
type
know.
Of...
I have not seen. Well, I mean, it's. I think it's going to be classic. You I hope escape. They go.
Look,
as
how
far as they
do they manage to get a table in the ring?
No.
Oh, they get through. Yeah, actually, no. I think you it's the kind you can't step out.
No,
unless somebody comes to help somebody. Anyway, so who do you have for this? You going Hardy's?
Oh, shit, son.
See, it's super catchy.
Yeah,
you know, I can't stop. Like, it's bad podcasting.
Yeah,
and I still can't stop.
It's a recurring theme, though. It's a good joke. We're just going to run into the ground.
I totally could see Cesaro and Sheamus walking away from this, but the fact that it's a cage match, I still picture the Hardy Boys doing, like, crazy off the top of the cage stunts.
Yep. You're going to get a swanton off the top of that cage.
Yeah,
oh, absolutely.
It's going to be, and it's going to be fucking nuts.
Can't wait.
But is it going to be the Hardy Boys pull off the crazy stunt from the top of it and then end up just still losing after that?
I hope so.
You know, is it going to be Matt jumps off of it?
Jeff misses the swanton and that costs them.
Or, you know, he hits Sheamus and then he's all like, woo, and then Cesaro runs in and, like, decks him and gets the win. Fuck. I'm going to go Cesaro and Sheamus on this. Just from the point of, like, yeah, they got to move that belt around a little bit.
Yeah, I also, man. Yeah, I just can't. I don't feel so confident in the Hardys that I want to pick a pick I really don't want. I think I'd rather them win, but I was wrong. I just don't want them. I feel like they've got to move these belts. They can't have them forever. Or otherwise, Cesaro and Sheamus are going to look like fucking clowns at this point. It's been so long since they've had them, and they've lost so consistently for so long.
Well, what'd they lose them at? WrestleMania?
But they'd also been losing before that.
Mm. Yeah, I guess. But it doesn't matter. Hardy's all the way. Team Extreme.
I don't know. I may revisit that one. But for now, I'm going to Cesaro and Sheamus.
So who had what picks then?
Actually, as it stands right now, it's a Hardy's Dark Horse for Adam.
Yeah.
Oh, my.
But I may change mine. I'm not sure yet. All right, so then we got the main event of the evening, Roman Reigns.
Oh, what was the points on that one?
Oh, what?
12 4.
17? 18?
Yeah, 4. Let's go 18, yeah.
4. And a half.
It was a two-pointer. next we have, all right, so it's Roman Reigns versus...
This is the final match of the night.
Yep, versus Finn Balor.
Universal Championship, number one contender match.
The Fatal Five guys.
So this
the
is
extreme rules.
This isn't for the belts. This is for who gets to go.
Because there's no belt here.
Yeah.
So
who gets to... It's the right to face Brock Lesnar at Great Balls of Fire.
Yes.
Raw is such a disappointment.
Roman Reigns versus Finn Balor versus Seth Rollins versus Samoa Joe versus Bray Wyatt.
Oh, boy.
First pinfall to a victory. It's extreme rules. I think the match is going to be good.
I mean, it's a
I think the match is definitely
going to
be good.
What's extreme about it?
Well, I guess yeah, I guess technically all fatal, you know, four ways, five ways, whatever's, all of those are already no DQ because you can't disqualify somebody because it's first pinfall to a finish. So making this extreme rules isn't doing anything. Mm. It's just saying, okay, you're encouraged to hit them with chairs and whatnot.
Yeah.
But, like, you wouldn't have been disqualified anyway, so the... They were touting it as the first time ever it's been a thing. It's like, but you're not really different.
It's no,
still
it's not
the same. I think the match is going to be good, though.
Oh, absolutely. I think there'll probably be at least a couple of crazy spots. I don't know.
All right, so there's two ways to think about it. Who do you think will win this match, and who's the best person to go up against Brock?
Well, it doesn't matter. They're losing. They're going to lose against Brock. Brock's not losing anytime soon.
Are they really going to just leave that belt in limbo until WrestleMania?
Sure are. Because you're going to have it. You're going to have it
entire
year. You're going to have it. Great Balls of Fire, because he's going to be there defending.
Right.
Then you're going to have it at SummerSlam, because I feel like he's got to show up to SummerSlam.
Yeah,
Big Four. Then it takes off September and October. Then it comes back at Survivor Series, and then it takes off December, and then you're at the Royal Rumble. It's a long time away, but it's not as long as you think when you've got him every other month, essentially.
Yeah, sure. But that's such a shitty thing to put like your main
sucks.
Title in.
Yeah. Your secondary main, but
what
still
do
main, your
A
show
time?
Title. You haven't tried water.
Yeah, it's
awful, but it's there's no way this isn't Roman Reigns versus Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania for the Universal title. A thing nobody wants, and everyone's going to be really booey about when it happens.
It's true.
Yeah.
But so then who fights Brock in the meantime?
I don't know.
That's what this match is determining. Because that sounds, I'm trying not to think about it like who wins this match. I'm thinking who fights Brock.
Yeah,
that's the way I'm trying to pick this out. And yeah, it definitely is going to be Roman Reigns, like you said at WrestleMania.
Yeah, so he's not, I don't think he's winning.
God
this
help
match.
Us!
I've already eliminated him from my mind.
No, same here because I can have him lose this without losing.
Yeah, exactly.
So then, is it Finn, Seth, Joe, or Wyatt?
It'd be cool to see Samoa Joe do it.
Yeah,
just to see that match, I think that'd be a really good match.
Yeah, I don't see it being Bray.
It could be Bray.
I think it could be Bray
because then you have Bray versus Heyman in a build up for a month of shit talking.
Yeah, that's true.
Because I think Brock's going to be on some of the shows leading up to Great Balls of Fire, and you know Heyman's going to be at almost all of them because Heyman's definitely going to come out tomorrow night and be like, "Here we go, congratulations, so and so, you're the real deal." But let me tell you something about my climb.
Yeah, you're actually the loser.
Yeah. So, it could be Bray, honestly. Plus, I feel like they need to give him something big since they took that world title away from him so quickly.
Mm. That's true.
I don't know. Someone else pick.
They took it away from him so quickly. Like,
yeah.
This is a guy who, I don't know. I don't really.
No, he means Bray.
I know he means Bray. But, like, I was surprised that Bray even became champion.
Oh, yeah. But the fact that they gave it to him and they were like, just kidding, it's Randy's now. Just kidding, it's Jinder's now. It's like. I mean, they might throw him to Brock.
To lose?
Yeah. Well,
but, I mean, that's kind of how they've handled Bray.
Yeah, that's his thing.
I would rather see him do something more, like, storybook than, try and fight Brock Lesnar. Like, that to me is just really uninteresting as far as, like, plot goes. Because you know that nothing is going to happen with Brock Lesnar. Like, he's just Brock Lesnar. He just hits things. So I think that that's a really bad, like, that's a really bad sauce on that sandwich.
Yeah, I mean, no matter what, the circumstances isn't great. They're all pretty bad because I mean, who knows? Maybe they might surprise me, and it may be Brock loses it at WrestleMania in a triple threat, and then we just do Brock versus Roman at WrestleMania, not for the belt, but we protected Brock at SummerSlam, and we do stuff with the belt. Like, it's entirely possible that's a thing, too, but I don't know. They've let me down so many times with regards to this that I think that's the way it's going
to
go.
Well, I'll be the first to put a name on the paper. I'm actually going to go Seth Rollins because I think that I think the question that is to, that you should be asking is who can survive losing to Brock at Great Balls of Fire?
I think they all can.
I think they all can, but who can survive it the best? And I think I think the one who would be hurt the most by it would be Finn.
Finn, definitely.
And I think the one who is most easy to explain is Seth. I think that Seth will be fighting Brock. I think they will put on a good match. I think they will match up well. I think it's a thing that they've wanted. They've teased for a long time. But then it's just going to be a throwaway bullshit. Like, oh, here comes Samoa Joe, and he beat up Seth, and it just continues their feud on.
Yeah, yeah.
Because this isn't a major pay-per-view. It's almost like a silly pay-per-view.
It's an extreme pay-per-view.
Yeah, it's extreme. No. I'm talking about Great Balls of Fire. Yeah. So I think that's a pay-per-view where they will give you a bullshit ending like that because they know you're not really expecting much more than that.
Yeah, what do you care?
Exactly. So, yeah, I'm going Seth Rollins on this one.
See, part of me wants to see Samoa Joe just because I think Samoa Joe versus Brock Lesnar would, like you said, be a really good match. But because the way that Brock's matches are templated, where it's just German suplex, German suplex, German suplex, I don't necessarily think that they would throw Joe to that since he is so new. I'm going to go Bray on this.
I don't think it's a bad pick. Yeah, to be honest.
I think him versus Heyman in the war of words is what we get to at least first, and then you let the other guys kind of shuffle out, and then you get a Seth Rollins at SummerSlam because that's a bigger match on a bigger stage, and you give that to Seth Rollins rather than giving that to like a Bray Wyatt or somebody else.
What do you got, Joe?
I think I'm gonna have to go with Samoa Joe.
Damn it, Joe.
We're not.
Damn it, non Samoan Joe.
Yes, you can also
damn still it, Caucasian
pick.
Joe.
Damn it, Samoa-less Joe.
Great.
That was the best cookies.
No, you're Samoan-less. You don't have any.
That's why I'm asking for some.
You can't. You're not allowed to have it.
Damn it.
See, I feel like Samoa Joe ties Finn as least able to survive losing to Brock because Samoa Joe's whole thing is how tough he is.
Yeah,
and if it's just that he's just toughest because Brock's not here, it'll really kill him.
I think he's going to put on a really good show against Brock. That's what I think it's going
to
be.
Oh, he would. Yeah. Absolutely.
Well, yeah. No, like, it's going to be the kind of thing where like Joe is actually going to probably really put a beat down on
Brock,
but Brock will still win. And it'll be like, wow, can you believe
what a war he put him through? Yeah.
What Joe did to Brock.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not a bad way of thinking.
No, you're, yeah. Yeah. I'll give you that. What do you got?
Well, I was going to pick Samoa Joe, and then Joe picked him.
You could still pick him.
You could still pick him.
I could still pick him.
It is nice, though, that this paper or that this match exists, because this is doing a nice job of breaking up. A lot of us have very similar cards. We're actually all, at a quick glance, it looks like we all at least have something different from each other.
Yep.
But, like, this saves tonight from being a pay-per-view where we know by 9 o'clock who's already won every belt.
Me. It's me.
No.
It's me.
Recent performance states that the only thing you should be looking forward to right now is the number one advantage of the Money in the Bank.
Kind of okay with that.
It worked out great for me.
Kind of okay with it.
Are you going to dark horse it with Finn? Or are you gonna...
No, because you're right. He can't afford to lose. So
Finn could get screwed. It could set up a new feud for Finn.
Yeah.
A Finn feud, if you would. But I do feel like he's got more to lose than other folks who are in this.
I think that you have a really good point, Tyler. I think that Seth Rollins is probably the only one who could really take a loss from Brock Lesnar and not come out fucked.
And still be the Kingslayer.
Yeah, and still have a leg to stand on.
Because he's
only
sick.
One, yeah. Only one.
Freaking Rollins.
He's one good leg to stand on.
So yeah, I'm going to go Seth Rollins.
Seth Rollins it is.
1 point match?
What do you think? Low 20s?
Like 22?
Yeah. 22 point match.
22 point match.
So let's review our point. Our right, points so in yeah, the matches.
Here's what we have.
This is
we
fucking have, retarded.
Wow, you don't use that word.
Yeah,
okay. That was extremely rude.
Yeah,
that was
extremely uncomfortable.
All right, so what do we got?
We've got, well, I'll start with Kalisto and Apollo Crews as 5 points.
Okay. Okay.
Noam Dar and et al. Is also 5 points. Do we want to make that a different thing so none of the match? Matching is not
eight?
Extreme. Yeah, I was going to say 8, actually, is exactly what was in my head.
Okay.
Hold on. There are so many fucking scribbles there now. That's not even a word. Neville versus Austin Aries is 12 points.
Okay.
I still have Dean Ambrose versus Miz written down as 2 points. So.
Do we? No,
I don't think we gave it a value.
That could stay the same.
That could be the. Well, no, I guess.
No,
it does
really
belts.
Screw off. Yeah. So let's say.
I like it at 2 points. I think that's extreme.
But it really devalues making a much smarter pick. It's easier to make, or it's a different thing to make picks for this as opposed to pre-show matches, which are just a fucking crapshoot.
Yeah.
14 points.
14 points?
All right.
15 points.
All right, so.
We've got too many even numbers.
Yeah, you're right. All right, so 15 points for that one. We've got Hardy's in the cage is 18 points.
Okay.
We've got Alexa Bliss and Bayley coming in at a cool 27 points. And we have the Fatal Five guys at 22 points. I actually think that all works out pretty nicely.
Yep. So it's you want to get the best of 107 points.
All right, cool. There you go. all right, so that's it. That's our pre-show for it.
Yeah, that's going to do it. So we'll take a break. We're going to get ready for some wrestling. And then we'll come back for part two of the Broken Clock's main event, Extreme Rules 2017 Prediction Wrap-Up Show Compendium.
Whoa. Extreme!
Extreme!
Can you handle this? Can you handle this? Can you handle this?
Can you cut us off?
We'll never stop singing this song, at least not for the night.
All right, and what's up? We are back for part two, the post-show for... WWE Extreme Rules. We are the Broken Clock Podcast. This is the Broken Clock's main event. Just in case you came in halfway through, my name is Adam.
I'm Joe.
I'm Tyler.
And currently, we'll run down the champions for tonight.
Yes, let's speak about champions.
I don't want to.
The greatest champion of all is me.
As we've said.
Retaining...
Championship Joe is the worst kind of Joe.
It is. I mean, most of them are pretty unbearable, but this one really takes the cake.
I know. So, you know, you don't have to be loved to be the benevolent ruler.
No, you don't need to be loved to be the banana ruler, Joe. It's true. You are truly the banana ruler.
You're disrespecting our brand. Like, yeah. You really don't. You shouldn't be the champion. That's what I'm saying. You shouldn't be.
Look, all I know is I'm the fucking winner, and you guys are losers.
Not true. I am the hardcore champions. Therefore, I can't be a loser because all of the coolest people were hardcore champions.
It's true. Yes. I was also hardcore champion at one point tonight.
I was also hardcore champion at one point.
Yes. So Skip was not here. He was not able to defend, clearly, his hardcore title. But so we just took it from him. It started off with a couple of back and forths. Everybody here got it at least once tonight. But in the end, I walk away with it. Skip did walk away with the Intercontinental Championship, though.
So he finally gets to enjoy the treasure he bought himself.
Well, he was Intercontinental Champ when he bought it.
Yeah.
Oh, that's true.
He enjoyed it first.
Yeah.
He did respond to a text that said, the true champion, so he can gloat about that.
Just because it's a nicer belt doesn't mean it's a nicer title.
Well, he's the true Intercontinental Champion, I guess that was what he's trying to say. Only Tyler can lay claim to that better because he has more wins. But,
yep, I own that belt.
But he can't say nothing because he's not the champ.
Nope.
I unfortunately also am the Miz Participation Award winner.
You tried.
Which I think cements my status as number one pick for Money in the Bank. So that's something to look forward to, I guess. So let's run just through the matches for overall okay pay-per-view.
Yeah, I went in expecting it to be a lot worse than it turned out to be. There were some bizarre decisions along the way for some of the stuff they did.
Yeah, a lot of the extreme rules were extremely weird. Like, they didn't, they were like, you know how you think this is going to go? It doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
For the, almost
it,
every
It almost
match.
Felt like they were just kind of changing shit on the fly.
Yeah. A lot of the booking just didn't make sense either. Why were people getting counted out in the submission match? Why was Alexa Bliss allowed to use the kendo stick? Like, there was a lot of those when we get to those matches.
Yeah.
So let's just start off with the pre-show, which was Kalisto and Apollo Crews. It was lame.
Yeah, I mean, it was just a really kind of... Have they even been having a grudge?
No, I guess Kalisto faced Titus on Monday, and Titus won with the pull of the tights, and Apollo didn't like that, and he's like, I'll show you I can beat him clean. And he didn't.
Yeah,
because Titus got involved, got kicked in the face, and Apollo Crews lost. So Kalisto won that. It wasn't really anything that any of us really were paying attention to. Orange.
I mean, we didn't even know there was a match right up until just before the pay-per-view started.
That's true. So. Clearly wasn't a thing that any of us were excited for, and they proved us right. So,
Yeah,
so the next one we have here, it was, and we're just going to go in the order that we wrote them down. We never remember what order they came in on the show, so we'll just go through it. The mixed tag match for 205 Live, the Cruiserweights, Rich Swann and Sasha Banks came out on top in that, in which we didn't realize when we made our picks, but thinking Rich Swann was from Baltimore, as soon as we heard that, we were like, oh man, of course they're going to lose, and they didn't. So they went against typical Vince booking, but that match too was weird. There were no real cool spots in it. There was, you know, I think a couple, like, flips off the top rope, and that was pretty much it.
The best part of the whole match was when Sasha jumped off the top
rope. Oh, yeah, the double knees onto the outside.
Onto Noam Dar.
Yep. Yeah, that part was pretty cool. And then that is ultimately what led them to the victory, because then Rich Swann did a move, but...
Who cares?
It was
Sasha Banks and... Alicia Fox's match.
Yeah, for the most part. And we had all picked the same team, so we weren't heavily invested in that match to begin with anyway. So it didn't really work out. The next match that we had, which Joe did, this helped Joe cement his victory, was his dark horse pick for Neville beating Austin Aries in a submission match, which, as Tyler mentioned, had count outs going, and
they had to tap out in the ring.
Yeah, they had the thing where it was like, oh, if you hold the five count too long, you're going to be disqualified. It's like, you can't. If you have to win by submission, you can't lose by disqualification. Just that kind of stuff didn't make any sense. And I hate when WWE does that. Mm. It's like, I know what a submission match is. You told me for weeks that you have to win by submission, and then the night of, just be like, nope, you don't have to, I guess.
I know. How do you not know how your own matches work?
Yeah, it's just basic. The match overall was pretty good, though. Yeah, I liked all the spots.
I just can't believe it's the third pay-per-view in a row that Austin Aries doesn't get the belt. Like, are we seriously going to do this again? Like, and I imagine we are. It just makes it a real testament to how little confidence they have in anyone on 205 Live, apparently, to be able to fight for the belt.
Well, the only other thing I can think of is that maybe this gets Austin Aries out of the cruiserweights and he starts going and fighting bigger people.
I guess. After what? Getting whooped three times and limping out of the division? Like, if that's the case, then it makes him look really sad, which is unfortunate because it's the best asset they have on that brand. I don't know. It just seems it's a real head scratcher.
Yeah.
It makes you feel like he pissed somebody off.
Well, it could just be they want to elevate Neville and be like, no, Neville's really, really good. You guys, look, he beat this Austin Aries guy three times,
I guess.
And that makes him look stronger. But yeah, it was disappointing. I wanted to see Austin Aries win. I want to see him hold the championship in this company. But
I did not.
Well, no, because you picked it. But you even said, like, you're like, I don't even like this pick. I'm just going to do it to be different.
Yeah, I know. And it, honestly, when Neville won, I was like, oh.
Yeah.
I mean, hooray.
Yeah, all right. That's the thing that I had wanted. So, yeah. The match was good. I did enjoy it, but, you know, there was some weird quirkiness to it that kind of ruined what could have been a much better match.
This was actually the second to last match of the night.
Yeah.
So at this point, we were already perplexed by some of the other matches that had happened.
Yeah, it made me more attuned to the fact that the rules were different than what we had expected because I've been seeing it all night. So I think that ruined this match a little bit. But still, overall, pretty good. The next match that we have here was Dean Ambrose versus The Miz. The Miz does walk out as the Intercontinental Champion, beginning his Intercontinental Championship World Tour that was abruptly canceled when he was last on SmackDown. I like it. I want him to hold that belt.
Yeah, it was a really good match too. This was the one time where you felt like they had a good handle on how the rules worked and used them to their advantage in the match.
Yep. Yeah, I'd say this was probably the best match of the night.
Yeah, more than likely.
I loved all the stuff that they did with Dean trying desperately not to break the rules as much as possible.
Yeah, which was good ring psychology because he's so used to like stretching those rules as far as he could go. Mm-hmm. And you know that like he would that one spot with the exposed turnbuckle.
Yeah.
Like you knew in a regular match he'd be like, fuck it, I'm just gonna throw you right into this, and I'll be like, well, I didn't use it that way, so I'm not disqualified. But here he's like, nope, I don't wanna nope.
Yeah, he had to stop and pull Miz back from running into it.
Yeah. And I liked all the stuff at the end too with just like using Maurice to slap Miz to try to, like, you know, Miz doing all the different things where he's like, look, he hit me with the chair. Ow, oh, ow. And then
lots of moments of like, is it going to? With the ref walking over to the
bell.
Yeah. And pushing when he pushed Dean Ambrose into the ref, and you're like, oh, man, is the ref? Oh, boy, the ref's going to disqualify him. He has to. You got to do it. He attacked the ref. And using that to then get Miz the pinfall after Maurice had been kicked out, after all of that, I thought was a really good end to that match.
Yeah, I really liked it a lot.
So that match was fun. I too agree. I think that was the best
match of the night.
Yeah, best match of the night. At least the best use of the rules established within their given, you know, given
the overabundance of rules and their no rules pay-per-view.
Exactly. So next match we have here was the women's title match. This was Alexa versus Bayley in a kendo stick on a pole match. Another one with weird, quirky versions of the rules, which it weren't the way they were explained on Raw, and therefore we didn't think they were going to go.
It wasn't even the way it was explained in this pay-per-view.
No, because ultimately, we had said in the pre-show, we thought it was whoever gets the kendo stick first is the only one that's allowed to use it.
If Bayley gets a kendo stick, she can use a kendo stick.
Yeah.
Probably if Alexa tries to use it, she'll be disqualified.
Yeah. That's usually how a thing on a pole match works, unless that getting the thing off the pole ends the match.
Yeah.
Typically, it's if you get it, you get to use it. In this instance, they both kind of got it, and it fell down, and maybe that's the loophole. But Bayley ultimately was the first one to hold it.
She was the one that pulled it off.
Yeah, she was the first one to hold it when she picked it up off the ground, and then Alexa just hit her and then took it and then beat the shit out of her.
Yeah, for the rest of the match, whipped her with that thing.
Yeah. So I'm glad that once the kendo stick got introduced, it wasn't really a back and forth. It was just the, I'm just going to beat the crap out of you, and that's what's going to make me win. So that part of it was cool at the very least.
Still, like I said, I was confused by the way it played out. The whole time she was using it, I was going, wait, what the fuck, why is she using that?
Yeah.
They said it was whoever got it down got to use it.
Yeah.
So basically, why didn't they just have a kendo stick in the middle of the ring? Know. And first person to get the kendo stick had it.
Yep.
Yes. What was the point of putting it on the pole?
Skip asked the good question. He sent a text that was like, if they can both use it, what was the point of the pole?
Yeah.
There's like, I much rather would have had just like, all right, this is a kendo stick match.
Yeah, where there were kendo sticks scattered all over the ring.
Yeah, and we could have had a cool like lightsaber kendo stick fight and, you know, just fucking traded. Nerd. Yeah, exactly. And they could have just traded shots and like hit each other in the leg and stuff. Like that would have been a lot cooler.
You find out Alexa is her father.
Well, she did own her in this match. So, the match was good. It was still just, it felt weird and disjointed because it didn't really seem like they knew what they were doing. All right, so the next match that we have here is one that I had Dark Horse and lost, which is I thought the Hardy Men were going to retain their tag team titles, and they didn't.
Yay.
And this was one that also threw us off because we didn't know that there was no pins.
Yeah, it was escapes only.
Yeah.
We also didn't know also that both of them had to get out
to actually win.
Yeah. I think overall WWE just did a really terrible job of explaining what these rules were because they were clearly different than what previous history shows as being the rules of matches of this type.
Or previous episodes of Raw explaining it.
Yeah. When they said cage match, I immediately thought, okay, pinfalls, submissions, escapes over, escapes through the door, first fall to a finish. Not like, you know, one guy has to get out and then he leaves his friends. Yeah. You know.
Do you leave your teammate behind to get beat up by two people?
Yeah. And I actually liked that rule set, but it's still like it wasn't.
If I went in knowing it,
yeah
exactly.
I would have enjoyed a lot more. But at that point, I was just confused.
Yeah. And they didn't even explain it until like halfway through. They're like, remember, you can only escape. And then 5 minutes later, they're like, oh, but also you both have to escape. Yeah. And we're like, wait, why are you telling me this in the middle of the match? I should have known this going in. But ultimately the match was pretty good. I enjoyed it at the very least. You know, we got a couple cool spots from Jeff, you know, jumping off the top and the, you know, drop kicks into the cage and the white noise off the top rope from Sheamus. That was pretty good.
And even the ending, I thought it was like, oh my god, it's gonna be so close. Who's it gonna be?
They pulled it off correctly.
Yeah. It wasn't like the SmackDown Battle Royal, which we immediately thought of, where you know one person clearly won. They're like, no, but we can't tell. Like it's too close to call, you guys. So at least there was a definitive thing. So that feud's gonna continue then. How do you guys feel about that?
I mean, I hate it.
Who else could they feud with?
Any other tag team that's not the Hardys.
I mean, you can't just have the Hardys disappear from the title.
No,
let's not rule it out.
Well, they got to get their rematch.
Disappear from everything.
Unless their rematch comes tomorrow, then they at least have their contractual rematch, which will probably happen at Great Balls of Fire, which we did get our first commercial for, and it looks just as stupid as we all thought.
I didn't see it. I was peeing.
You didn't miss much.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so then the last match that we have here is the five-man Fatal 5-Way Five Guys Burgers presents an Extreme Rules number one contenders championship match.
Brought to you by Legacy of Kane, Soul Reaver.
So I like this match a lot. I didn't think it was as good as it could have been. It wasn't nearly as extreme as it should have been, considering all of the people. Like, they only broke the one table. They only used the one chair. Like, it never truly felt like an Extreme Rules match. Mm-hmm. It was just like, you know.
Oh, a ladder should have been introduced.
Yeah, something. Break both tables.
Table. Not necessarily a ladder, but a table for sure.
Yeah, maybe a couple other chairs. Just kendo stick. Like, there's so much stuff under the ring that I feel like could have been introduced in the main event of your Extreme Rules pay-per-view.
A lot of good spots, though. I really liked this match a lot. I knew I was going to, but it was done really well. I do think if you – I'm looking at it. I'm forcing myself to very much look at it as if it was not a pay-per-view called Extreme Rules, and I think I'd be really happy with that match. So yeah. I'm pretty cool with it.
Yeah, I like Seth's frog splash.
I'm sad about the result, though, because I do feel like Samoa Joe is not going to beat Brock, and I feel like if Samoa Joe's whole character is based on being the toughest motherfucker who isn't named Brock Lesnar, like now – He's going to lose that, and that's kind of his whole identity, you know, so I hope. But, I mean, could be wrong. I would love for Joe to bring the Universal belt back to Raw and have it be a thing that gets defended on Raw.
Yeah, that would be pretty cool. Fantastic.
Despite the fact that I won, I was the one that picked Samoa Joe, I didn't like how it ended in a
Finn passing out?
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know. I would have rather it had been a pin. For some reason, whenever it's a like a choke out, in one of these things, is most of the time they can barely make it to a 3-count pin. Mm. The fact that he was able to lay there for like 30 seconds and choke him out and nobody interrupted it.
Yeah. But at the same time, I don't think it was that long. And you have to realize Finn just like went through hell and just did a series of moves and clearly was like on his last legs anyway and then got put in a choke hold. I think that at least makes, you know, a little bit of sense.
And Joe's move is about knocking you out.
Yeah.
So it is kind of for it. I don't hate it as much. I think I do see what you're saying, but I don't hate it too badly. But I certainly didn't pick the right winner.
No, only Joe did. So congratulations, Joe.
I won what, 6 out of the 7 matches. The only thing I got wrong was Alexa Bailey versus Bailey.
Trade by your girl Bailey.
Yeah, why?
Bailey, you let me down.
Yep.
You had a chance, you had that kendo stick in your hand, you blew it.
Yeah. I had a feeling she wasn't gonna use that kendo stick. I mean, I did make that as my hardcore pick that she would like refuse to use it, and it never came true. But
yeah, she went to swing it. She just hesitated.
Yeah, and then lost. So that was a shame. But yeah, overall, I think we all were pretty down at the beginning of the pay-per-view, and at the end, it's fine. I had no problems with it, really. The matches that were bad, I've already forgotten them, and the matches that were good, you know, I'll probably be thinking about and talking about with other people and stuff. So that's really all you can ask for a B, C tier pay-per-view, having just had one 2 weeks ago and, you know, trying to rush things. The only thing I'm sad about with this pay-per-view is I really wish we had gotten the conclusion of Braun and Roman. I wanted to see that story finish, and because of Braun getting hurt, he wasn't able to be a part of it. And that thing was on track for an ambulance match that I think would have been a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Just because they were using it so much, and that was clearly going to be the extreme stipulation.
I know. Come back soon, Braun. I'm not finished with you.
Yeah. Aww. So yeah, guys, any final thoughts on Extreme Rules 2017?
Joe sucks.
Oh. Yeah.
Right?
No.
No.
That's not the final thought. I'm going to think that a lot more.
Out of 10, what would you rate this pay-per-view?
Oh, I don't know, like a 7.5? Like,
yeah, that's about
the
same.
I'd say a 7.
Wow.
Yeah, but that's average.
Tough critic.
Yeah.
That's a C.
Yeah, that's an average grade.
C for crappy.
Yeah. So, all right, and Tyler, you said?
It's the same as you.
7.5,
yeah.
All right. So all around, pretty okay show. Not too shabby.
It turned out better than I thought it would, yep. And I went and think it was going to be terrible. So.
Yeah.
It's a pretty consistent chain of impressive pay-per-views, honestly.
Yeah, for sure.
They've had a good run recently.
Yeah, and I think the only thing that most of us are disappointed about is that Joe is a champion.
Yeah.
But anybody can be disappointed.
Anyone listening is disappointed. We're disappointed.
Mm-hmm.
Neighbors, family, friends.
Yep.
Especially Joe's family and friends, especially.
Especially, yeah. They know he doesn't deserve it.
Yeah.
And that we could all do a lot better.
I know. It's true. It's true. But you know what? You got to get through it.
You guys are so jealous.
Yeah.
So jelly.
All right. Well, I think that's going to do it for tonight for Extreme Rules 2017. You can catch this and us after every WWE pay-per-view with our pre- and post-show wrap-ups and predictions. You can find us on Twitter at Broken Clock Pods. You can find the podcast on podcast services like Google Play, iTunes, Podbean, and Stitcher. Give us a like, give us a share, give us, you know, all that kind of stuff to say that you're okay with what we're doing. We'll take sevens. That's fine. you can also find the Broken Clock Games cast as well on those places where we talk about video games. That's our other show that features me and Joe this week. So once again, we'll go around the table. My name is Adam.
I'm Joe.
And I'm Tyler.
And together we are guaranteed to be right at least twice a day. It's the motto of the Broken Clock podcast. So thanks so much for listening.